Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed, and it's Thursday, which means it is Author of the Week, sponsored by ABC Books on North Glenstone. We've had some real home runs lately, and today is no exception. Our author today, G. Van Fleet, author of Mao's America, A Survivor's Warning. She describes herself as Chinese by birth, American by choice, survivor of Mao's Cultural Revolution. I thank you, so, and defender of liberty. Let's talk about your background, because that's clearly very, very important. It is your perspective, someone who's lived through totalitarianism. Tell us, if you would, about being a student growing up in China and coming to the United States.
Yes, I'll make it quick because that's a long story. I was born in Mao's China, and I call it a slavery of communism. That's what I was born into, and I don't have any choice. That's where, you know, I lived through, and the most brutal regime in communist, among communist countries. So when I was 7, I just finished my first semester of my first grade when the Cultural Revolution started. That was 1966, and the school closed immediately. Why? Because the principals and the school, the teachers were ousted by the kids. The kids were the Red Guards of Mao, and their goal was to follow Mao's order to overthrow everything that Mao considered not in his control. That means the entire CCP and all of its institutions. So the Red Guards' task is to bring down the those in power and destroy everything that is traditional. Like the cancel culture, even though it's called something different. It's called the four O's: old ideas, old culture, old custom, and old habits. They all have to be destroyed to replace by Maoism, the most radical version of Marxism. And so everything was destroyed, institutions paralyzed, and I lost a whole 4 years of school during the Cultural Revolution. After I graduated from high school, there's nothing for young people like me in the city. There's no jobs. There's nothing. So we're sent to the countryside to be re-educated by the peasants. And I worked in the fields with the peasants under primitive conditions for 3 years until Mao died and his successor, Deng Xiaoping, forced to really bring China to the a different direction. Instead of class struggle, he wanted to improve the economy and open China up. And then one of the things he did is reopened university. And at the age of 19, I was able to go to college. And eventually, I got a job, The party decided what I should do. And I taught in college. In China for 4 years before I was able to come to America to pursue my graduate study. That was 1986.
Well, I want to talk now with our author of the week, G. Van Fleet, the book Mao's America, Survivor's Warning. You talk about education and reporting on teachers. It's interesting because in the Springfield School District, just I think it was last year, there was a student who filmed a teacher using politically incorrect language. And of course, the teacher went gone. You have this growing atmosphere in the schools in which we see students encouraged to report on teachers if they do say things that are politically incorrect. And at the same time, we've seen the push around here as well as across the country, critical race theory, diversity, equity, and inclusion. When you see this evolution in our public schools here, how does that strike you given your background and your upbringing in education in Mao's China?
What you described was the Chinese Cultural Revolution. And under communism, there's only one version of truth. Everything is controlled by the party. There's one source of information is from the party, and you're allowed to think one way. That's the party's way of thinking. You are only allowed to speak one way. It's party's way of speaking, right? So if you see variations, if you see offenses, you report. And you report your classmates, you report your neighbors, your friends, and your parents. And during the Cultural Revolution, so many young people reported their parents. Many ended up either in prison or being executed. And that's exactly what's going on today. And there's only one version of truth. And that's what they told the kids. You have to be an anti-racist. You can't be just like, I'm not a racist. You have to be anti-racist. You have to be on board with their CRT agenda. You have to admit, even though you see a man in front of you, you have to admit it's a woman. And it's all the same thing. And so if you go against the agenda, and you'll be in trouble. And your friends and your classmates will report you, including your teacher, and including parents. It's happening in America. Kids reported their parents, and their parents ended up in jail. And there was at least two well-known cases of children reported the mother and another one, the father, of being in Washington, D.C. January 6th.
We're talking with Shivan Fleet, Mal's America, Survivor's Warning. Social media, prior to, I don't know, the last several years or so, when we began to learn about social media and the way that this administration in particular, but even prior to this administration, some of the agencies within the government that were anti-Trump, utilizing their authority to censor people's ability to speak freely on social media. And I remember several years ago talking with a friend of mine who had in-laws in China and would spend time in China and talk about how her nieces and nephews, in order to communicate about political things on social media in China, they would oftentimes have to use code language or code words in order for it not to be censored. And that's what we're doing here in America now. You see it on social media, on Facebook, people will use code words to talk about other things so it does not get banned off of social media. As you see this censorship unfolding here, particularly with social media, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, censorship is something that a totalitarian regime relies on. And it's no difference between, you know, CCP and those that pushing the agenda in America. And a censorship actually, yeah, as you described, they censor your speech and then they shut down and then deplatform you and all that. But that is actually not the most effective tool. The most effective tool is self-censorship, that they create this fear. So they don't even have to shut you up. You shut yourself up, right? So you censor yourself, and you don't say certain things that you think might get you into trouble. And that's Mao's China. And then everyone lies. Everyone remains silent. But eventually, silence is violence. You can't just be silent. You have to actively participate in their lies. So that's where we're going. And we're already there in reality.
Well, we've also seen just this massive acceleration towards the current attempt to imprison political opposition. I remember watching a lot of the protests, particularly in Hong Kong, and the rounding up of political protesters there. Of course, there's still January people in the that didn't even go into the Capitol that are still to this day being rounded up from January 6th. And then, of course, you have what has always been unheard of in the United States until the current administration, and that is an attempt to imprison not just political opposition, that would be Donald Trump, but people who worked on his campaign, attorneys for offering advice. As again, given your upbringing, escaping China from Mao's Cultural Revolution, what do you think about all of that political, the attempts to imprison political opposition here in the United States?
That is, again, another feature of communism. It's guilty by association. And so, okay, if their goal is Trump, that's not enough. Anyone supported him, anyone worked under him, anyone advised him has to go as well. And that's what in China as well. by association, meaning even more loosely, association can mean you just happen to work under him, your family members, your relatives, everyone. There is one case that there is a party member that was purged, and purged with him include about 1,000 people. Anyone that associated with him, had business, anyone related to him, whatever, they all purged together. And they do that so that others see.
Right.
You see, if you don't follow the party's instruction, if you dare to be, questioning or step out of the line, this is what happened. Not just you. That's easy. Not just you. Your family, your relatives, everybody else, all go with you.
Well, and we've seen that. I mean, even this week, we've watched as Donald Trump's children are forced to come testify in court. And he's not the only one. We hear this, we see it, and for a lot of us who are seekers of truth and liberty, we hear the warnings. I mean, we didn't even necessarily need them, but we see them, we hear them from people like you, from people who have escaped countries like Cuba and Venezuela. But at the same time, there are Americans who vote for this. They support it. They rally behind it. And it increasingly makes a lot of Americans who do want freedom and liberty to feel a sense of helplessness and almost this inevitability of the destruction of liberty. What hope is there? What can Americans do who don't want to live this totalitarian or in a totalitarian regime that we're seeing pushed upon us by the left in the United States?
Yeah, I live in Virginia. And we had the election, and the result is so discouraging. And people got involved. I got so involved with the candidates, and I supported them, and I got involved in early voting and election day. I stood outside for 8 hours, and I put everything into it, and you'll see the result. It is very discouraging. It is. There's no way you can just, make it sounds less discouraging. It is. But that's what we have to do. We still have to keep on fighting. And I think the most important thing is expose. That what I think I can do is expose the lies, because communism thrives on lies, and so is the progressives. They absolutely use deception to win or control. I think not win, to control their voters. Absolutely, they use the worst lies, packaged in a way that looks that they care, and then control those people. But we have to expose their lies, and then we still have to continue to get involved and support your local candidate, even though the overall result was disappointing. Mm-hmm. But for Loudoun School, we got 3 seats, one more than before, and there was still one and still waiting for the final result. And so we just have to keep fighting, and there's no other way. But also understand that the progressives have been doing this for decades, and the conservatives just kind of woke up lately, right? In the past few years, we just started to fight back. So it will take a little while, and it's not an easy battle, that's for sure.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so very much for being with us this morning and writing the book as a warning. Again, it's Mao's America, Survivor's Warning, our Author of the Week, Xi Van Fleet. You can get this and all our Author of the Week books at ABC Books, sponsor of Author of the Week. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1.